Welcome to Healthcare Du Jour, where we dish up and digest the latest in healthcare. For the next 30 minutes, sit back as we bring you insight, commentary, and discussion on trending topics to the table, all expertly served up by our host and his guests. Healthcare Du Jour is brought to you by High Tech Answers and Healthcare Now Radio, part of the Answers Media Network, and is sponsored by the Law Offices of Myrick O'Connell. Now here is your host, Matt Fisher.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining as we dive into the hottest topics in healthcare. I'm your host, Matt Fisher. On the menu today is Jin Asnani, Executive Director of Commonwealth Health Alliance. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you on. So before we kind of dive into our main topics, would you just be able to tell everybody who you are and what you do for those who might not be aware already?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Jin Asnani. I'm the Executive Director of Commonwealth Health Alliance. So I lead and Commonwealth, which is a not-for-profit organization and industry association open to all healthcare organizations and other types of organizations who believe in the vision that wherever a patient goes, their data should be able to follow them and be available to them and to their caregivers. So that is what I do today at my role at Commonwealth.
So have you always been involved in the healthcare field, or is that kind of a development that happened over the course of your career?
I've been involved in healthcare for about 7 years now. I have been firmly involved on this sort of this intersection between technology, healthcare, and policy, and particularly revolving around the topic of enabling health data to be able to be exchanged for the purposes of clinical care, better clinical care by physicians, nurses, and other care providers. And so I started my career 7 years ago working for the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, so a federal government agency where I was an Obama appointee for 2 years, and then worked at an EHR company, that's Athena Health, that provides a variety of technology services into the healthcare space. And while I was there, I helped launch Commonwealth Health Alliance and a number of other sort of important organizations who have become partners of ours. And 3 years into my Athena career, when the opportunity arose to lead this great organization, and I was given that opportunity, I stepped up to it. And so now I've been at Commonwealth for the last 2 years at its helm.
So kind of, would you be able to describe a little bit of the technical work that you've been engaged in? Because I think you were saying you're at the intersection of a lot of different pathways within the healthcare industry. So it would be interesting to hear kind of what you're doing on the ground, where those were all coming together.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about healthcare today, right, healthcare data that's captured when you meet your physician or your nurse, everything from your vitals to your allergies, your diagnosis, the procedures that you underwent, your labs, and so on and so forth, all of these are captured today, largely now in electronic health records, to some degree still on paper, but it's becoming more and more digitized. And that's all fine and good if you always go to the same doctor every time. But if you want to go to a different doctor, and people who have most people end up going to an average of, I think, 7 different care providers over the course of their lives. And, folks who have really serious health conditions go to a lot more than that. And those organizations and those providers who work for those organizations have no way of exchanging the data with each other. And that's where I've spent my time working on, well, if in one system you're capturing problems, allergies, meds in one way, and another system is captured another way, how do we make sure that that data that's in one location gets to this other person in this other location who may be your more recent care provider, or maybe a specialist who's taking care of a specific condition, or maybe an emergency room doctor who needs your information right here, right now, to be able to take care of you. And so figuring out that technology mechanism for getting from point A to point B when and where it is needed is where I've spent the last 7 years of mine. And it is from a technical point of view, it is a variety of different technologies, most of them standard internet stuff that is now being utilized in the healthcare world, the stuff that underlies the transfer of information across the internet, like SMTP and TLS and all of that jazz, which is sort of acronym heaven for technologists. And then on top of that, definition of content and how clinical content should be transmitted from one place to the other. And that's where you get into things that look a little bit like HTML for those who dabble in the internet, but a lot more structured and a lot more complicated. And so that's where, you know, across technology stack, that's where I spend my time thinking about how the right set of technologies in the right context of business and policy in order to enable that type of interaction to happen between care providers who, you know, who are both equally sort of responsible for you but may not be in touch and may not know how to share data with each other.
Right. I'd kind of like to break that into a few different pieces. And I think the first path I'd like to go down is, you know, your discussion of the the technology aspect. You know, as you were saying, you've kind of been working on that for 7 years. So, and it sounds like I think you were saying that the technology has progressed as well during that time period. So it really does sound like the technology is there, and you know, maybe that isn't necessarily the barrier or the hurdle that maybe it once was.
The technology is becoming less and less of an issue. There still is. You know, one of the funny things about technology in this space is as you solve the bigger problems, you figure smaller and smaller problems. So to give an example, 7 years ago, the big issue was, you know, in what format should I send you this data? Like, what will you, receive? It's the equivalent of the internet days before there was HTML. Like, okay, sure, your computer can connect to mine, but so what? You know, how are we going to see anything? What's going to appear on the screen? And what do I know I need to, what catcher's mitt should I have on the other side when you throw me some information so that I can actually see it? And now some of the issues we face are, you know, if you send me that data, how do I know that it's exactly the same thing in my mind? You tell me you took his blood pressure, but how do I know you took his blood pressure while he was sitting down and you used his left, you know, you looked at his left arm? And so that's one type of, that's on the content side, just new levels of subtlety that we're working through. And there's a similar level of subtlety that we're working through in terms of, well, if you send me the data for this patient, well, thank you for sending it to me. I knew you had it. But I don't know where else the patient has been. What's a mechanism for me to discover what's out there? And this is very akin to the 1990s when if you wanted to search, let's say you're very interested in, pick a random topic, let's say Michael Jordan, and you really wanted to get information on Michael Jordan. Well, you went to, you know, ESPN.com, and that's where you got it. But by the way, if anybody else had information on Michael Jordan, who obviously everybody knew at the time, you're out of luck unless you knew exactly where to go. And then along came the search engine. And now suddenly you can just type in Michael Jordan and you got information from the search engine that told you where else you could go and find more information, you know, on him. Similarly, there's this problem in healthcare. If I'm taking care of a patient, I might want to know where else they've been. I want them to have some control in that. I want to give them control and ability to tell me to share with me permissions to go get the data. But in the first place, I actually want to know that I can go get it from where else they've been and that I can find out where those places are so I can take the best care. And and that's a new subtle technology problem and policy problem that we're working on right now actively in Commonwealth, such that, you know, a patient and their caregivers who they've authorized to take care of them really do have the ability to see the whole patient picture so that they can really take care of the best, give the best care to that patient.
Right, that aspect that you were just describing of, you know, the patient might identify one provider, but there's, you know, as you're saying, very likely a larger spectrum out there. You know, from my perspective, it doesn't necessarily sound like a technological one so much as, you know, as you said, a policy one. You know, correct me if this is the wrong analogy, but it sounds like, you know, taking your web, you know, your internet analogy, it's my understanding, and I'm not a technology person, but it's, you know, the websites get indexed because you're, you know, basically wanting to come up on the search engine, where yep. It doesn't seem like there's that necessarily either that framework available in healthcare or there's perceived or actual restrictions on maybe being able to get into, I guess, but the analogy of the search engine would be a robust health information exchange.
Well, you know, you're sort of right. You know, there's definitely a policy aspect of it, which, you know, is actually what makes this also super interesting. Because what you want to do is, if you do want to go out and get information on the patient, you want to know that it's copacetic by law, it's copacetic with the provider's practices, and it's copacetic for the patient. The patient wants to have the security of knowing that information that's relevant to my care is available to those who I actually want caring for me. So there's definitely a policy aspect. But you're also a little wrong in the sense that there's actually no equivalent of a search engine out there. So if I'm a patient and I want my doctor to know information about me, and go get it from everywhere because, I have a chronic illness, or I've been to a lot of doctors. I certainly don't remember the one I went to 3 years ago when I had that, issue with my foot because I was maybe in a different place, or it was just not a doctor who I see every time. It's a specialist. I actually don't have any technology tool to do that. I don't have a Google. I don't have a Bing or a Yelp. I don't have any of those things. I'm really out of luck, and so is my caregiver. That's where Commonwealth has come in specifically to provide the healthcare equivalent of a search engine. It's much more. It's obviously a little different than being more secure and all of that jazz, which you need in healthcare. Which, searching for Michael Jordan is one thing. Searching for my information is a different story. But the underlying capability to actually go out there and look for that data and actually pull it back for me, that actually does not exist in healthcare at all today until Commonwealth came along. And in a way that's nationally scalable. It happens in some small communities and niches, but it's certainly not on the national level where I can actually go and get my data and know that it's actually available. So there is a technology aspect that's missing that Commonwealth solving head on, and we're doing it in concert with policy. Because to your point, it is at least partially a policy problem, because even if you had the technology, you have to know that it's being used the right way. And so we're solving both of those at the same time, where there's been a clear gap in the industry in solving those.
Right. No, I definitely agree with you that certainly no national solution exists. What about on the more, I guess, I don't even know if a regional solution exists, but, being in Massachusetts, I see maybe there is some degree of a state solution with the Mass Highway. I've also worked with some clients on collaborations among emergency departments where there's, I think the Mass Hospital Association is kind of driving coordination among all emergency departments. So I guess, is that view of kind of the more local or state level accurate? And is that something where that's what's trying to be scaled up, or are you just kind of looking for a wholly new solution?
It's really a wholly new solution. I really do appreciate these other types of activities and collaborations because they pave the way for us. We try to actually enable them to be even further empowered by what we're doing. So if you think about some of the examples you gave there, these are premeditated coordinations, right? It's a group of hospitals, a group of emergency departments, or an emergency department and an ambulance company coming together and saying, hey, if we enabled you to connect to me, we'd save X number of lives. And that's obviously extremely important because of the X number of lives they save. But it's premeditated in the first place. If that patient had been somewhere else, had gone to a small one-person clinic, a one-doctor clinic, they would be totally in the blind as to where that patient has been. It is actually the case of not knowing what you don't know. And that's where the search engine, the analogy comes in, right? You didn't even know that there was, articles on Michael Jordan on about.com or some other site you really go to because that's just not where you go. And now you can actually get information that's super valuable, super useful, maybe a different perspective, maybe new information that you needed to take better care of that patient. Even in the state context, it tends to be a lot of premeditated coordination. And usually, and this is an important point, usually they're for specific purposes. In the case of Commonwealth, our intention is that any provider and any caregiver who's taking care of a patient at that moment or is about to, has some sort of relationship with the patient taking care of them, should be able to get that data so they can take the best care. If you look at a number of the HIE programs, some of them do tackle that, so I don't want to take away from that. But a lot of them, what they're doing is they're enabling information to be shared for the purposes of managing populations of patients or managing the costs in a community. And so it's because it's for a different reason, it's not necessarily even available to the physicians in the clinic or the hospital. It may be available to you know, quality control or to management or somebody else in the hospital or clinic, but not necessarily to the physician who, you know, has that patient in front of them. They're all important use cases, all important types of interoperability, but they're different in how they're used. If you think about like email versus going to a web browser and using a search engine, I can never say that email is not important and search engine is, right? They're both important for two very different reasons. The thing that we're tackling tends to be underserved generally nationally, and even in the context of some state or you know, niche collaborations.
Right. No, I like your description, whereas you're saying each solution, each tool has its role and place to play. And, you know, I think you were also saying that it's been a progression where you had to maybe get these initial steps in place and allow that to work out some of, I guess, the technological policy and behavioral issues that allow you to keep developing.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, ultimately, you know, all progress in interoperability is, you know, creates a sort of a virtuous loop. So oftentimes, you know, as we're trying to create this sort of platform that enables nationwide interoperability for, you know, point of care treatment and patient access, it is, we're looking at enabling, you know, those types of collaborations of organizations who already want to do interoperability to leverage us to make this better, and also giving these tools to those folks, you know, particularly if you think about rural hospitals, small clinics, small specialties, they tend to have no solution whatsoever. And giving them a easy solution that's built into the products that they use on day in day out basis, like their EHR, just making it another feature that's just available in whatever product it is they choose to use in order to capture and share data on their patient. That's what we're trying to accomplish, so that it's really empowering to the entire community and vice versa.
Right, and you kind of anticipated one of my thoughts there, which is how do you get it to those small providers or to those rural providers? Because it's, you know, I don't think it's for a lack of desire from those types of practices so much as maybe a lack of resources or the lack of time to be able to devote to it. Since, you know, from a lot of, you know, when I speak to those types of providers or from reports you see, it's, you know, they're basically doing everything they can just to be able to treat and care for the patients that they're seeing.
You've hit it right on the head. You know, the extra resources, time, effort, energy, research, all that it takes to figure out how to exchange data is oftentimes just beyond, you know, it's beyond, I mean, my top five needs as a provider organization who has, a physician and, you know, his or her spouse who is running a clinic, or a small hospital with a handful of beds that's just trying to keep afloat in a very small community. And there are, by the way, you know, half of our hospitals, you know, fit that description, right? More than half of our hospitals are small hospitals. And there are, you know, half of our clinics out there are small independent practices. That's actually where Commonwealth particularly excels, actually, because the way we're formed is our members are these HIT vendors. They are these organizations who are providing EHRs to everybody from the small mom-and-pop clinics to the huge academic medical centers. And what they're committing to when they join Commonwealth and subscribe to what they call subscribe to our services, in other words, implement that search engine functionality so they can connect to us and connect to everybody else. When they do that, they're committing to building in Commonwealth as just a feature in their EHR, so that if you have an EHR from any of those member companies, it can connect to everybody else who's connected. So it, for minimal resources, usually no resources, for no research, for maybe a little bit of, just maybe a bit of curiosity as you see this new thing pop up on your window that's now available to you, so you can go get data from everywhere for the patient, you know, as directed by the patient. You suddenly have this, and where you just did not have the resources, time, money, effort, etc., to be able to go get that yourself. It's now just part of a thing you already invested in, your EHR. So that's a very big part of it. That's why we actually excel at this.
Yes, no, it's, you know, as you were just saying, it should be integrated, and it's one of those, you know, I think developments where if you're following, you know, kind of anecdotal or other complaints, it's, you know, why aren't the companies working together? You know, and by the companies, I mean the vendors. Whereas, you know, as you were just saying, this is a way for them to show, no, we are working together, and it's, you know, I would suspect responding to some degree of a market demand without, you know, imposing an incremental or other type of fee to satisfy that.
You know, the way it works is that you got it just about right, right? You know, so Commonwealth is now the first thing, most important thing to remember is Commonwealth is a not-for-profit. Our mission is that this data is available to patients, that it's safe, secure, available when and where it's needed, and that it is available at reasonable cost to end users, caregivers, patients, whoever should have access. And that's what our members commit to. And so now in our alliance, we have, you know, more than 25 EHR vendors. We have more than 50 health IT vendors of various different sorts. We also have several government and state agencies and other NPOs who have complementary missions. And the joint vision is that this should be exceedingly cheap to the end user. And so that's what we've all built to. Now, we don't dictate prices to any of our members. For a variety of federal laws, which I'm sure you're quite familiar with, Matt.
Yep.
but we, you know, they are making that commitment, and so far I have no indication that anybody is not keeping to that commitment, and I've heard really good things from end users who say, okay, this is great. I now suddenly have something which I would not have ever been able to afford, and now it's here, it's available, we can start using it, and, you know, this is exciting. It is search engine 1.0, so they, you know, they give us feedback to make it better and better and better, but in the first place, it's there now. They can actually start getting the kind of info that that they know they needed and just, you know, kind of given up on trying to get over the last 30 years.
Right, and I think that's all. I think that's a bit showing the, you know, the progress that is being made, as you said, and it's you know, really a demonstration that people within this industry do want to get to a place where we're enhancing the ability to deliver care and you know, improve the quality as well. But I'd also like to kind of just flip back to, you know, one of the other primary aspects you said that you work on, which is the policy aspect, and you get a little bit of a better understanding in terms of what you're pursuing in terms of the policy side of things, since we did have to dived quite a bit into the kind of technology side.
Yeah, sure. You know, I'll say that, you know, we are first and foremost an implementation organization. There are a lot of forums across the industry for discussing policy, discussing legal contractual frameworks, and you know, coming together on what, you know, what we think, you know, responses to government, you know, regulation should be, and so on. There are a lot of those types of forums across the industry. When Commonwealth was formed, and up to this date, you know, we were formed 4 years ago, and we've stuck very true to the idea that this is a place where the industry of vendors, of folks who are on the hook for making implementation happen, they come together, bring us their collective intelligence, their individual market intelligence to be able to create a set of services that is broadly applicable and ubiquitous. And so the focus for us still tends to be technology, and the policy becomes an important aspect of enabling a technology that is actually implementable and usable in a way that's copacetic to end users. So in terms of like individual policy work we're doing, Matt, there's not a whole lot, right? We do participate regularly with you know, the regulatory bodies who you know, govern our industry, particularly the Office of the National Coordinator, the Office of the Inspector General, Office of Civil Rights, and we do participate with organizations who will probably utilize our services in one form or the other. So there are federal agencies who actually are responsible for, you know, numbers of providers to take care of, for example, the veterans and our armed forces. And so those organizations we work with as well, as we try to ensure that they have access as they desire to the data. So The work we do there is still, even in the work we do there, is very technology oriented, and it's with our governing bodies who we share insights as to what's working, what's not working in the field, respond to directions that they're planning to take, and really bringing the practical on the ground point of view as to what works and what does not work in policy when you try to make it impose it or share it with the rest of the industry. So that's a big part of our role, is bringing the collective intelligence to help government make better decisions as well, and also to help them know when they should just defer things to organizations like ours, not just ours, but ours and others like us, so that we can just continue making the progress that we've made that for the last few decades, everybody has kind of struggled with, and we finally think we've cracked that nut.
Yeah, no. Providing that type of information insight definitely is vital for, as you said, the policy process, because it's, people can try and come up with what they think is a great policy, but not actually understand the practical consequences or practical impacts of what they think they're doing, which can oftentimes lead to the exact opposite of the intended effect.
You're absolutely right. I was very fortunate to have worked at the Office of National Coordinator, and one of the things I learned is that it is replete with wonderful people who really believe in the mission they're trying to accomplish and are trying to do the very best they can for the country. And they struggle, as I did when I was, when I worked there, with understanding, of the decisions we're making, what are all the ramifications? What are going to be the actual implications on the ground? And when we got community pushback, well, how do we know this is pushback because it's actually a problem versus pushback because industry would naturally push back on you when you're trying to regulate? So there was a lot of trying to sort through this, which was very difficult when you're working with necessarily with individual EHR companies or individual health IT vendors. But when you start looking at a consortium that has a very clear definition of success, and success means the data is flowing and available to those who care for them, for the patient, when and where that's needed, then you can start, and it's 50 vendors all at once who are saying that this is what they want to do and this is how they're making it happen, and giving you high transparency into what number of patients, what number of transactions, all of the kinds of things you kind of crave when you're in the government in terms of what's really happening on the ground. When you have an organization that who you can work with, it really makes the lives easier of those folks in DC who, again, are really trying to do the best for the country and sometimes have to make the best decisions they can when flying blind. That's important to us that we help them there.
Yes, no, I think that's a very important and insightful comment, because believe it or not, we're already out of time. So, Jayton, I'd like to thank you very much for a great conversation.
Thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciated it.
Yeah, no, we'll have to keep you on the agenda to have come back as things continue to progress. And thank you to everyone for listening. Keep the dialogue going and connect with me at #HCDEJURE. I'm Matt Fisher. Until next time.